This Week in Startups is brought to you by Walker Corporate Law, a boutique law firm specializing in the representation of entrepreneurs. Visit them at walkercorporatelaw.com. And Citrix GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and sign up for a 30-day trial.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason Calacanis. And on today's This Week in Startups, two amazing talks. One, Marco, the founder of Thumbtack, talks about their epic success. This is the second most successful in my 150 angel investments. Uber, of course, is number one. Thumbtack, also a unicorn. And Marco talks about how they got there. Also, Sunny from Requested, which is one of our incubator companies from the first launch incubator. And he was the number one ranked speaker at the LaunchScale conference. He was number one. And he talks about street teams and how to grow your startup through the old school guerrilla tactic of getting on the street, taking it to the streets. That's right. Sunny takes it to the streets. And with his amazing talk, he came out number one at the LaunchScale event. It's an amazing episode. You're going to learn a ton. Stick with us.
That's what it's all about, man. They said, money is the root of all evil. What? Funny how it feeds my people. We ain't going to live like equals until we get the money, spend the money, and defeat you. Yeah. Money is the root of all evil. What? Funny how it feeds my people. Yeah. We ain't going to live like equals until we get the money, spend the money, and defeat you.
I met Marco 5 years ago, maybe six or five?
Five, March of 2010.
March of 2010, and back then we were coming out of the financial crisis, and he had a crazy idea to build a service in local spaces. I introduced him to a bunch of investors. They all said no. Myself, Cyan Bannister, and a couple of people.
Josh Schechter
did the angel round in Thumbtack. I think it was my second or third investment as an angel investor along with Uber. And you guys had a tremendous month this past month. Tell everybody what the last month has been like.
Yeah, we just announced we raised $125 million from a group of investors at a $1.3 billion valuation.
Which is just extraordinary. Yeah. 5 years. And I'm going to let you give your talk, but just right before you give it, that first year or two, it was very slow, frustrating, and difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to call out, I'm going to try and impart a little bit of learnings that we've picked up over the years, but the truth is, when Jason invested in, you know, the spring of 2010, we didn't know any of this stuff. So I got to appreciate you seeing the hustle and investing in that, and I'm glad that we made it work.
When I met you, there was a big sign above your head. Mm-hmm. You didn't see it. It was a flashing neon sign that said winner. And I just always knew from the moment I met you, you were going to win. So, okay, let's hear it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. So my goal today is just to tell a few lessons about how to build marketplaces. But before I dive into that, I want to give a little bit of context about Thumbtack. First off, from where we came from. So this whole adventure, these last 6 years of work, started from a very banal observation. And that was, why is it so damn hard to hire a plumber, right? Why is the world still using bulletin boards to advertise local services and to find a caterer or find a babysitter? That just made no sense to us. You know, this was a time where you could order a book off of Amazon and it'd show up in just a few days. You could stay in touch with all of your friends from all around the world easily and cheaply, and yet you had to waste an afternoon to find a plumber or a tutor to pay money to. You know, historically, the universe makes it very easy for you to part with your money. And yet in this category, that wasn't the case. And so we started thinking, and the first thing we did is we looked at who was currently trying to solve this problem online. We certainly are not the first, right? Yelp, Craigslist, Angie's List have been up there for a long time. The interesting thing with all three of these companies is that they are online versions of offline products, right? There are directories and classifieds which have existed for over a century. And while moving them online added some benefits like pictures and reviews that certainly made them better, it didn't fundamentally change the user experience. You still have to search, browse, and call. And even worse, what we realized is that for our categories, which are really about who can come to me to perform a specific service, neither of these models worked well. And the reason is that hiring a plumber is actually more like dating than it is like dining. And so what Thumbtack is, in one way to think about it, is a Tinder for plumbers. It's not sexy like that, but from a UX perspective, that's what we're doing. Because think about it, when you need to hire a plumber, you don't get to pick who comes to you. You have to ask them. You can say, hey, who's available? Who's interested to do this job? And then they, the plumber, has to say, yes, I can do that. And then you have to agree. It's a two-sided, double opt-in match. Hopefully, like all of your dates. And so the dream that we had from the get-go was very simple. We are building the best and most trusted way to hire a professional for any project, anytime, anywhere. So very briefly, let me show you how that works. So this is our app. This is the start screen. And what you'll notice is that while we offer you the ability to sort of put in your request, you can't search or browse. So take, for example, if I was looking to hire a yoga instructor in San Francisco, Thumbtack would start interviewing me and asking me what type of yoga I was interested in. Is it a private class or a group class? What days of the week do I want this done? Basically, all the questions that the professional is going to need to figure out if they can do the job, and if so, how much they're going to charge you. This is a conversation that you would have had to have with each and every professional to figure out if they could even do the job. That's why you had to make a dozen phone calls. We've replaced that. You simply tell us what you need once. What we then do is we send those requests out to the plumbers and caterers and service professionals. So here's now the Pro app. What we deliver for them is an inbox full of potential business, full of customers. So no longer do they have to go out and hunt and try and fish for customers by buying ads and hoping that, you know, one of these ads snares these people. They simply wait and we push the customers to them. And then they can see everything that the customer told us about what they wanted. And if they're a fit, if they're free at that time, if they do that type of work, then they can send a quote directly through the app. So they don't have to do anything to find customers. We send the customers to them. And we will package that quote up with all the relevant information that the customer needs to make a confident hiring decision. So that includes things like pictures and reviews and scheduling information such that you can quickly get to done. So that's how it works. And Thumbtack, we believe, is the easiest and best way to hire a huge number of local services. In fact, we now cover 1,000 different categories. Our biggest section is home improvement, home repair. We're also very large in event services, so photographers, videographers, instructional services like tutors for your child, and wellness, so a yoga instructor or a personal trainer. We now have 5 million projects happening through the platform a year. And that's what has enabled us to engage 200,000 active paying professionals. And we've done that without a sales force. And the reason we've been able to do that is because we're bringing them what they want. We are bringing them customers, and we are offering them in a way that's easy to understand and easy to engage with. So we don't charge professionals to sign up or to create a profile. We simply charge them to respond to the customers that they like. And that's why we're now sending them $1 billion worth of business every year.
Hey everybody. Let me stop for a moment this amazing episode and tell you about the Walker Corporate Law Group. Yes, they are a boutique law firm that specializes in the representation of entrepreneurs and startups. And Scott Walker is the founder of that company, and he is a personal friend of mine, and he does a great job working with startups. I have literally introduced him to dozens, maybe hundreds now, of startups, and they all rave about the services of the Walker Corporate Law Group because their lawyers have decades of experience. You're not going to get junior associates who are getting on-the-job training with your startup. No. They're going to help you with mergers and acquisitions, licensing, terms of service, privacy policies, formation, all this kind of stuff, fundraising. And they're really great at it. And they do fixed fees. They don't want to surprise people with crazy, crazy bills. They think that billable hours can reward inefficiency. So they'll just be fair with you. And that's what I love about them. Because if you're a startup, you don't want to get that sticker shock and get a huge, huge bill. Make sure you use the Walker Corporate Law Group. And you can do that by calling Scott Walker at 415-979-9998. 415-979-9998. You can email him, Scott at walkercorporatelaw.com. Or you can visit walkercorporatelaw.com as well. Scott at walkercorporatelaw.com, and let Scott Ed Walker on Twitter know, at Scott Ed Walker, know that you, hey, you watch the program and you appreciate him supporting independent media like This Week in Startups. One of my oldest advertisers, one of my oldest friends in the industry, just a great guy, a total mensch, and he really takes care of the startups who work with him. Thank you, Scott Walker, for supporting This Week in Startups. Bye-bye. Okay, let's get back to this program. Come on.
So, how did we get here? I talked about one of the core challenges that we had to solve, which is the product experience challenge. How do we actually bring these two sides together in an effective and delightful way? But there's two other enormous challenges that we had to solve to make this work. And the first was, how do you bootstrap it? How do you solve the chicken and the egg problem? Well, this was our approach. We called it building network-independent value. Chris Dixon has written a blog post called Come for the Tools, Stay for the Network. The concept is the same. Day one, as a marketplace, you don't have any network value, and so you have to find a way to entice one of the two sides that's independent of the network. So for us, what we built was a way for professionals to quickly post their Thumbtack profile onto Craigslist. With one click, they could republish their Thumbtack profile onto Craigslist, thereby bringing pictures and reviews and building a much better looking presence on Craigslist, a place that did have customers where they did want to advertise. And that's how we originally got the flywheel spinning. You know, the challenge is not ultimately then building the tool, but reaching out to enough people to actually get it used. And so what we ended up doing is we figured, hey, these folks are already on the internet. We just have to go find them and tell about this thing. We know they'll love it. And so we crawl the web at scale, classified which of these pages represented professionals, which types of services, where they offered it. And that gave us a marketing list that we were then able to market to get people signed up. And that's what got the original flywheel spinning. This tool helped entice professionals who wanted to use it to republish their profile onto Craigslist. And to do that, they had to create a profile. They had to put a lot of content into Thumbtack. And in doing so, they provided the magnet through which we were able to attract customers. And then we were finally able to get to the point where instead of selling this tool, we were able to simply sell, hey, you know what? We have a bunch of customers. Are you interested? And so that's how we originally got the flywheel spinning. So building liquidity and getting the marketplace going was a core challenge. The second and other challenge that we had was, how do you make money? You know, Jason alluded to the fact that we got a bunch of no's when we were raising our Series A, and that was by and large because we hadn't solved the monetization problem. At the time, we had a commission model where pros would simply pay a fraction of the revenue that they earned to us. But the challenge is, these customers and professionals are meeting in the real world. It's very hard to stay in the loop, to know who won, for how much, when, and then to collect when there's not much of an incentive for either side to report it back, since that's going to come with a fee. And so that didn't work. And so then we very quickly moved to a subscription model. We figured, okay, that's very easy to collect. You can't disintermediate it. And that was true. We had 15,000 pros sign up on our subscription model. We were earning, you know, almost $3 million in recurring revenue. But subscriptions had a fundamental flaw. And that was, we weren't charging on the margin of value creation. And what I mean by that is, as a marketplace, we're in the business of facilitating commerce, of helping professionals get hired. But the subscription was offered on a monthly basis. So if we happen to double the amount of customers that we gave you, the fee wouldn't grow. But similarly, if you happened to be booked up from all your past clients and you didn't want any customers, we were still charging you our fee. So we're either overcharging or undercharging, but never right charging. And so that led us to the model that we have today, our introduction-based model. Customer comes to us, tells us what they need. We send that out to our network of pros, and the ones who are available and interested pay us to send an introduction through to the customer. Now, not only was this good for Thumbtack in the sense that it scaled, it worked, pros understood it, they liked it, but it actually had a more important feature, which is its most important one, and that is that it made the customer experience better as well. Because when you're not charging a marginal fee to respond to a customer, the rational thing for the professional to do is to respond to all customers. But that lowers the average quality or average intent in those responses and makes a customer less likely to hire, makes that experience worse. And so by charging a fee, not only do we get the pro what they want, we actually make the customer experience better. So this is probably a little surprising to see. This is Isaac Newton. The reason he is here is because we have a concept at Thumbtack, or sort of an idea, that customers' laziness is like gravity. It will flow to the easiest solution that solves their need. And so something that we look to often is the data to tell us if we are building a solution that is getting the customers what they want. So here's an example of that. This is a Google search for house cleaners in San Francisco. This is the flow that a customer would go through when they find us in search. We'd ask for their zip code, and then we would go through that same interview process that you saw me go through in the app. We'd ask them, you know, what do they need cleaned, when, and there's a lot of info in here. If you ask most sort of UX experts, whether this is a performant page or not, they would say, absolutely not. Look how many questions you have. This is crazy. Cut it down by 80%, and your conversion rate will go way up. So what do you think our conversion rate is here? It's 27%. So of 100 customers who hit that landing page, 27 request a service. Now, we were surprised by that. And what happened, what we realized, is that actually by building out these questionnaires, we were building confidence with the customer that we knew what we were talking about, and we could get them what they wanted. So this is a reminder to not trust the received wisdom about how to do things, but instead, trust what your customers are telling you. Trust what the engagement says. If 27% of people are doing something, you're doing right by them. Here's another example of that. We were told over and over and over early on that it was impossible to build a self-serve marketplace for SMBs. You have to have a sales force. You have to push this onto them. Turns out that is not true. What you have to do is offer them a solution that's valuable and easy enough such that they want it. You don't have to push it onto them. They're simply excited to use it. And the way that we're sure about that is that pros don't leave. So obviously there's no y-axis here, but the point is that it's flat, right? 2 years out, 8 quarters from the start, we still have almost the same number of pros who are active 2 quarters after start. This is the power of our marketplace. These professionals, once they learn how to use Thumbtack and realize it's an ATM that they can operate reliably to make money, they never leave. So once again, don't worry about the received wisdom. Just listen to your customers and do right by them. So last sort of marketplace lesson is that liquidity is king. You know, why do people still go to Craigslist? It's not because it's pretty. It's not because it's safe. It's because it has liquidity. It has what you are looking for. And you have to find, as a marketplace, the unit of liquidity to focus on. And the unit, or sort of North Star, should be the number or metric that is correlated with success. And so it may not be a hire rate. For Uber, it's the average time to pick up. For Thumbtack, it's the percent of requests that get 3+ quotes. When we get you 3+ quotes, customers love it. The repeat rates are discontinuously higher. The qualitative feedback is discontinuously higher. And there's just something magical that happens when we get you 3+ quotes. And so that's what we focus on maniacally. So here's where we were in Q1 of 2013. This is a map of all of our quote-unquote markets. We have a unique challenge. You know, if you think about an Uber, they're live in, I think, 300 cities, and they effectively have three SKUs, right? UberX, Uber Black, and Uber XL. So 1,000, roughly, unique markets. Thumbtack is live in 1,000 different categories in every city in the United States. And so this is a map of our 200 categories in our top 50 cities. And every day, we are tracking how we are building liquidity in these markets. So here we were a year later, in 2014, in the Q1 of 2014, and here's where we were in Q1 of 2015. Now, obviously, darker is better. That means it's more liquid. And this is something that we work hard on every single day. It does not just happen. Liquidity is something that you have to manufacture, and you have to work on, and you have to support. But if you can get it, then you get into this beautiful, virtuous cycle. So the flywheel that originally got us going is actually no longer the flywheel that drives our growth. Today, our growth is driven from our network effects. You know, as we have more projects and more customers coming in, we're able to recruit more professionals because we have more business to offer. And as we get more professionals, that means we can match more effectively, so the customers get a better quote. It can be faster, we can have more of them, and that leads to a better customer experience, which begets the flywheel going around again and again and again. So you have to find your measure of liquidity, what delights people, what excites them, what drives your growth, and then maniacally focus on that. And briefly, you know, this is just the start. Thumbtack today is a matchmaker. We introduce customers and professionals so that they can get things done, but you're gonna see us focus on building out our tools such that we're valuable and relevant beyond the point of introduction. We're valuable and helpful with scheduling, with payments, with the CRM system. And the goal here is to be a true end-to-end solution that becomes the Amazon of local services. So thank you to Jason. Thank you to Scale. Appreciate the time.
Before you go, I just want to ask you one question, which is, how did you convince investors in the later rounds to stay the course with you when it wasn't working? Because there were times when, you know, I would introduce you to a couple of VCs, and they'd say, fascinating, interesting, stay in touch. Mm-hmm. How did you keep the lights on until the flywheel got moving? How did you get those investors and convince them to keep funding you when the company was losing money and not getting traction?
You know, in our Series A, we met Javelin Venture Partners who backed us and have been amazing to us. And like you, they bet on us. So they saw the potential in the market. Everyone saw the potential in the market. They saw the potential in us. And so they took that bet. And from that moment, what we realized is when it comes to raising money, you can't look back on what you've previously accomplished and sort of try and raise off of that. You have to look forward to the next round and realize, what is the next round asking of me and how am I gonna get there and how I'm gonna prove to them that I'm going to accomplish these milestones such that I can get to that next level. And what we realized after the Series A is we had to figure out how to make money. We had to be a reliably sort of effective monetization scheme. And so once we worked on that, we put that in place. You know, it took us 4 years to solve all those problems. And in March of 13, we had raised $6.5 million. In the sort of 2 years since that, I guess it's two and a little bit now, we've raised, you know, $270 million. And so once the model clicks and the traction is just obvious, becomes a lot easier to raise money.
Right. And what do you think those early, like, Javelin-like investors, because I think I suspect a lot of people here are going through that, like, big, long walk in the desert where it's not working and you're trying to get some scale going, trying to get people to pay for the service. What do you think Javelin was looking at when they were evaluating to make that bet? Were there things that convinced them this was a bet that was worth doing specifically?
So I think it was our process and the rigor that we brought to all of these decisions. And we may have said, hey, we haven't figured this out, but here's how we're thinking about it. Here's the plan of attack. Here's the metrics we're going to track. And I think they realized that we were worth betting on, that we had the approach and the mindset that could find our way through any and all of the challenges that were still to come.
So you proved it to them through your thoroughness and thinking through the problem.
You know what I think the one thing that they loved our dashboards. Mm. So we had invested a lot, probably more than most, in this sort of our, this was like pre-mix panel. So we'd sort of built our own like mini mix panel to track all the funnels and all this stuff. And it was real time, it was based on sort of Mongo, and we just load it up, show them the real time stats and all the experiments that we were running. And I think that crystallized for them sort of that our approach was going to work in this category.
In a way, to use a metaphor, it was like they saw your training program, they saw how you were training to compete for the Olympics, and that gave them the faith that, hey, maybe you could win a gold medal because of that. Okay, let's hear one more time for Marco. Great job.
Hey, everybody, let me take a moment to thank our friends at Citrix GoToMeeting. I mean, gosh, think about all the time and money and hassle it takes to hold these meetings. My God, you're going down to the valley, up to San Francisco, the traffic, the cost, the flying places. And my recommendation is that you meet your clients and coworkers over Citrix's GoToMeeting. It is a smarter way to meet, and it has beautiful HD faces. Amazing HD quality. I just did an all hands with my team from inside.com, and it was perfect. Everybody had crystal clear VoIP, or they were dialing in, and people were on different platforms. Some people were on their smartphones, some people were on tablets, some people were on desktop computers. And you know what? I have a real thing. I want everybody to have like a headset on, and some people forgot their headsets, and it still sounded really good. It's really the most professional meeting product on the market. It's very affordable. I've had it for many, many years. I think I'm close to a decade using GoToMeeting. And I want you to try it and sign up for GoToMeeting today. You'll get it free for 30 days. You have nothing to lose. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button. And if you do it now, your first meeting will be up and running in just minutes. And that's GoToMeeting, and your first 30 days are free. It's a fantastic product. You can also, it has a chat room in it, which is also a nice feature. I like to have somebody take notes and put it in the chat room. You can also record the audio from it in case you want to share that with everybody. And you know what? I do that as well. It's a fantastic product. Thank you, GoToMeeting. Let's get back to this amazing episode.
Sonny is with Requested, which went through our incubator and has had great success with street teams. And he's going to talk about how he activated his first street team for only $1,500. And he crushed the cost of Facebook installs. Please welcome Sonny from Requested.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you all for staying. Cocktails are coming after this. So everyone here at Scale shares something in common. We all love building things. And I've been building things my whole life. Back in 1993, a couple friends and I built a product called Heckler Magazine. It was a newsprint rag about snowboarding. And when we delivered the films to the printer for this very first issue, it was like a really exciting day. We had made this magazine. Remember, this is the 90s, like people didn't do this stuff. So we were super excited. However, 3 weeks later, a huge truck shows up at my front door and drops off 15,000 of these newspapers. And I literally couldn't walk out the front door. We didn't really think that far ahead, right? We were just geek skateboarders who wanted to tell ski resorts that we were with the press so we could get free lift tickets. So we thought making a magazine would be a good way to do that. And it kind of worked. So we had to figure out a way to get these things out. Now, at about the same time, I was too a fan of another renegade lifestyle, hip hop. I loved hip hop, and I noticed that those guys weren't getting any love, just like we snowboarder skateboarder dudes weren't getting any love. However, these guys took matters into their own hands. They were out promoting their records, selling mixtapes hand-to-hand, making picket signs to promote the shows. And I thought, that looks so cool and it's so successful, I'm gonna try it for Heckler. And so I did, and this is what it looked like. Yeah, you can laugh, that's me. A bunch of dirtbag skaters loaded up with backpacks going to skate shops and ski resorts and skate parks and dropping off these Heckler magazines to people one-to-one. But as it turns out, it does scale. And we scaled big time. Like, we went from this little tiny rag here in Northern California to global distribution in 30 countries, full glossy magazine, paid a 10-year run, and ultimately we were acquired by a huge global publisher. So it does scale, and we did it all with no advertising, all through street teaming. Most importantly, though, we built this good community. So it's 2015 now, and I'm still building things. My latest project is called Requested. It's this mobile app where you can book a table and pay with your phone at awesome restaurants, bars, and cafes. So we're sort of like Hotel Tonight meets Uber for restaurants. Where we really differentiate ourselves is we have this effortless dynamic pricing. It's really cool, huh? The idea sounds amazing, right? Well, that's what it looks like. We launched, and that's what happened. So I thought, let's street team. And then this happened, and this happened, and that happened, and that happened, and that happened, and it just keeps on going. It's happening. But again, most importantly, we're building this community hand-to-hand with people who really love our product, and we're growing 50% a month, month over month. So today, I'm gonna teach you how to activate your first street team for about $1,500. So let's get tactical. Step one is you need to build a crew. I suggest you create an unpaid internship program. Yes, I said unpaid. So first, write a marketing intern job description. This would look just like any marketing coordinator job. Why marketing intern? Because almost every college junior or senior wants to be a marketing intern at a cool company. Then go find your university career center. Now listen, this is my super kung fu ninja move. If you go find the university career center, for us, we're in Sacramento, California. We went to UC Davis, Sacramento State, and the community colleges. They will. You can find the internship manager. If they approve it, the interns get college credit. So now it has value and you don't have to pay them. Of course, post a gig on Craigslist. Why? Because that's free. And then clearly define the role. Remember, these people are gonna be out representing your brand in the street, so they really have to know what they're doing, right? You don't want a super introvert out in the street. And then use the 90-12 rule. This is something I totally made up from experience. The internship has to be 90 days long, 12 hours per week, period. If they don't do that, they won't lean in and they won't commit. And then finally, make them part of your DNA. Chances are you won't be with these interns all the time, so they have to be just as knowledgeable about your product as you are. All right, you've got a crew, now let's build some materials. Postcards, this is the total requisite for street teaming. 4x6, full color both sides, go glossy. I use a place called PS Print. They are in Oakland, so I can actually go pick them up if it's urgent, or they'll ship them to me. I got 8,000 of these units you can see right here, has our brand, has a picture of our product and where you can download the app and a little bit about us, 3.7 cents per unit. Then you do promo biz cards. And I don't know if you watched Joel from Grindr's Fireside Chat with Jason. He street teamed business cards to grow Grindr from 0 to 2 million people a day. This is exactly what we're doing. We're a marketplace in Requested. We have to build restaurant networks up and then get the diners to book reservations, right? So our marketing budget goes to giving people some dollars to give it a try. So we made these $15 toward your check cards. This is just copying Uber, right? Little business cards, 5,000 units, 1.8 cents per unit. So cheap. All right, because we're a network, we have to get this network built full of restaurants. So we created a sales kit. You may not need to, but if you are a marketplace, you will need to have some sort of brochure. So we created this awesome brochure that has testimonials from other restaurateurs, how much money a restaurant's gonna make by using us. And we did 8.5 by 11, 8 pages, do the 100-pound text. It's a lot nicer, it looks really nice. We got 1,000 units shipped for 67 cents per unit. Like seriously, this is like the cheapest cost per customer you'll get. All right, then you gotta have t-shirts, and you're seeing this right here, so you gotta have a uniform. Get a good brand, go Next Level, American Apparel, or Canvas. And get an array of sizes. You're gonna do this internship program and their people are gonna come in all different shapes and sizes. Don't make them wear the big boxy Hanes shirt. I like Real Thread, that's a really great company out of Florida. A lot of big startups use that. And then I'm also a big fan of keeping money local. So we found a place in Sacramento called The Cotton Shop. They're super awesome. I'm sure in your local town there's somebody local. There's another reason why. A big event like Scale is gonna pop up. You're gonna get that last minute speaking engagement. You're gonna need shirts in 3 days. If you have a local guy on tap, boom, you can go get shirts. So we got 72 units shipped in 10 days at $7.50 per shirt. Now you're probably thinking, $7.50, dude, I can get shirts for like $3. Well, read this article. Joshua Bear wrote this, it's on Medium. Your $4 shirt is costing you millions. There's amazing, compelling reasons why you should spend a little bit more on your t-shirts. Then get a spinning wheel. We didn't bring ours today, but it's really cool. So a spinning wheel is about $80 on Amazon, and get a big one. Don't get those little tiny ones. They don't make any noise, they don't spin, they totally suck. The big ones that are like 24 inches or more totally attract attention. Everybody, I don't care if you're the coolest hipster in the world, everybody wants to spin a spinning wheel. They love the clicking sound, it makes the dopamine rush. I don't know what it is, but spinning wheels make people happy. So get a spinning wheel, and then get the dry erase one, another ninja move. If you do a dry erase one, you can change all your fun prizes. So here you see we're giving away $10, $15 in credit, spin again, and then you can do really fun stuff like you deserve a nice compliment, you can take a ride in Jason's Tesla, all kinds of fun stuff like that. All right, so we've got those two things. Let's map our targets. Target area. Again, we're a marketplace that functions hyperlocal, and we're street teaming, right? So we're in the real world. For us, you're seeing a map of Midtown Sacramento. This is our market where we're honing our product. So first, define where you're gonna go. Then define some ant trails. What's an ant trail? This is where people are commonly going. It could be commutes, could be hot restaurant sectors, whatever the case may be. Then define your single locations. These are gonna be perfect corners where everybody meets, train stations, bus stations, the like. Then give your interns or your team time parameters. They need to know, show up at 11, work this corner until 1, or whatever the case may be. And then establish goals. Now you might be thinking, that seems obvious, but it's not. If you establish goals, it shapes the conversation. So for us, our goals are educate people what it is, and let's see if they can download the app and make a booking. Those are the two things. It helps them shape the conversation. And then write them an opening script. Remember, these are juniors and seniors in college. Like, likely they've never had many jobs, and they're super nervous and excited, and they think they're at the coolest company in the world, so they can flub. Give them the first opening line or two. Okay, we've got everything, we're ready to execute. So I'll show you a few things we've done this summer that have really worked for us. The first is actually a little unique. Everybody thinks of street team as business to consumer, but actually you can do street teaming for business to business. Because we needed to build a market, we need to go sell restaurants hand to hand, and that's very, very time consuming and very expensive. So what we did is we took that sales kit I showed you earlier, and we sent the team out on a total battle map up and down these streets and said, I want this in the hands of every GM and every owner of every restaurant, bar, and cafe on every single street in these three neighborhoods in Sacramento. And they did it. And this was the crazy part. I was just hoping it would open the doors for our sales guy to go in there. What was interesting is they would come back with notes and cards and all this excitement, 12 leads a day, three of which were warm, and then our sales guy just had to call to close that lead. So a cost per customer, basically zero. Then do a consumer activation. So you heard people talking about throwing parties. We throw parties to get the word out and educate people. This is Blake in the vest with the red button, requested button, at the hostess stand of one of our restaurant partners where we're throwing a happy hour party. Here he's intercepting diners that are already coming in who are not coming to our party, showing them the app and saying, if you like it, here, I'll send you some money. Here he's showing them the app. Now he's sending a promo code and this guy in the tie, he's gonna look at it, boom, he just got 10 bucks. He's smiling, now he's gonna move on to her. We picked up dozens of customers that night, free. So that's pretty fun. You don't have to do things that are right in your vertical either. Hop on the train and break the rules sometimes, right? So on September 25th, what happened? Apple released the iPhone 6S, right? So we have two Apple stores in our area, Sacramento. So we went to both of them at 7:30 a.m. And if you can see the guy in the gray shirt there, that's Randy, our sales guy, he and I walked the line for people with reservations and people without reservations. And we said, in celebration of the new iPhone, we'd like to give you $15 toward a restaurant visit for the best restaurant reservations app on the iPhone. Sounds pretty Apple endorsed, right? It's not, but I didn't break any rules. So that got us tons of customers, totally free, or, you know, 1.8 cents per. Okay, so that's how you can get some users. But the other neat thing about street teams for a lot of you early stage companies, which we are also an early stage company, is we all need feedback. Feedback helps us iterate on the product. So important, right? And I saw a really great example of this. There's Incubator 2 batch company called Scout, really cool mobile app for travelers. You can get travel advice on attractions and things to do from locals. And they did something pretty genius. They set up in front of Dreamforce a little coffee stand. And if you can't read that, it says, can you tell the difference between the SF Indie coffee versus Starbucks, right? And people just came up and they thought that was a really intriguing little, you know, fun survey. However, look at their t-shirts. It says, I have tourist advice. We know Dreamforce brings in tens of thousands of people from other areas of the world, all looking for things to do in their off time. And you can see here David Temple, the CEO, and his team showing them the app and saying, here's a great way to find places, things to do in San Francisco. Why don't you download this app and check it out? Really great way to do it. So that was September 15th. I thought it was so cool, and I'm such a copycat, I just went ahead and copied it on September 26th. So I went to that guy at the cotton shop, and I made these t-shirts that say, thirsty, ask me, I'm a local bar expert. Hungry, ask me, I'm a local restaurant expert. And we went to this festival called Farm to Fork. 50,000 people, it's a free festival for foodies. 50,000 people were there. September 26th, one day, you see our little spinning wheel there, it was Requested's best booking and revenue day ever. So these are just a few ideas, and really it's up to you to get really creative on how you use street teaming in concert with some of the other digital methods. But don't be afraid to go guerrilla and hustle on the street. So let's break it down. Intern program is free. Postcards are $296. Promo business cards cost $90. The t-shirts were $540. Sales kits cost me $675, and the spinning wheel was $80. But that one-to-one relationship with our users and all that honest feedback was epically valuable. So go ahead, make your own street team. You can find this talk at requestedapp.com/scale. Thank you for having me, Jason, and follow us on AngelList. And if you want to keep this conversation going, please email me right there. Thank you so much.
Okay, people are going crazy for your talk in the Slack chat room. Lots of tactical, actionable information, so that's great.
Cool.
Is it feasible for bigger companies, asks BitSensor, and Billy Boozer asks a related question, how do you scale it? So have you thought about scaling this, and is this something bigger companies should do? Is this something you plan on doing indefinitely?
Yeah, so two questions. Is it something bigger companies do? Go stand in Soho in New York and go by the Adidas store. Literally two blocks from the Adidas store, a street teamer will be handing you Adidas coupons to get in that same store. It's so competitive in the retail market, even a global company like Adidas actually has examples of street teaming at their scale. So absolutely. And really Red Bull, a sponsor here, awesome sponsor, they're like the masters of street teaming. So yeah, huge companies can still use street teaming. It's really about that one-to-one connection. It can't be overrated. The second part of the question was, do we plan on doing it indefinitely? Yeah, for the foreseeable future. I mean, it's really a huge way we're finding people who care about our product. You know, it's what we're doing is relatively new. And, you know, when we find those people who actually resonate with, they become users and they book more than once and it all starts to happen. So it's worth it for us. So absolutely, we're not going to stop until we, you know, drain it.
Yeah, another question from the room. I'm waiting for my camera.
Oh.
This was good. Hold it a second. Another question from him, but let me just get some Red Bull first.
Yeah, get it. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, so refreshing.
How's that delicious sugar-free Red Bull, Jason?
You know what the thing is? I feel like my focus level is higher than ever.
You know, your performance level has gone up today, not down.
It felt that way.
It's amazing.
It really has made me feel super focused today. What about crowdsourcing street teams or outsourcing street teams? Have you ever considered that, or is this something you think is core to have your own employees do so they actually get feedback and more meaning and purpose from their work?
Yeah.
Like, do you do it yourself?
Yeah, sure. No, it's a really great question. I think you can outsource it if you are, you know, halfway, you know, vanilla with a tiny bit of chocolate. Like, if you've got something that you're just passing out 30% coupons off at Adidas, well, who cares? Everyone knows what the Adidas store is. They just want the coupon or they don't. So if you're going for that, sure. Otherwise, put in the effort to create a street team and nurture them. Yeah, you have to do it four times a year. Big deal. That's four times a year where you get this little army of, you know, four or five people who are so stoked to get out there, represent your brand. They want to live it, and they're going to represent it the way you should, and they're going to bring back feedback that is way more valuable than some outsourced street team.
Aaron Goop asks, who ate the cost of the $15 off, the restaurant or Requested? And I have a follow-up question to that, which is, can these actually become profitable, or are they going to be money losing and you have to make it back if the person uses the app three or four times?
Sure. So, you know, a marketing budget's going to be a marketing budget, right? We could take $2,000 and spend it on a newspaper ad, a billboard, Facebook ads, or getting people to try our product. So when they use it, the $15 is paid for by Requested. So that's the answer to that question. Can it be profitable? Absolutely. The awareness and education you get from just blanketing these things, we're seeing that for our monthly revenue, you know, those promo codes are going to be, you know, sub 20%. That's our marketing budget. So, and we're getting people to use it. We're getting them addicted. They're becoming habitual users. So, it, you know, that's how we're spending our marketing. And again, it's no different than, you know, Airbnb's 10 bucks or Hotel Tonight's 20 bucks or Uber's $20 on your first ride.
But you have to pay an intern 15 bucks an hour or 10 bucks an hour or they're free.
No, the interns, you saw, did you watch the talk?
No, I did. But
I'm kidding.
I mean, at scale, you have to start paying them.
No.
You can't scale.
The intern program that we've built is unpaid cash. What it is
they get credit
at school
right.
if they do the form. It's like one form. It's really simple. University Center, the career intern manager.
Would it work if you were paying people 12 bucks an hour to go out on the street and do it?
You know what's funny? We did that, and they weren't as quality. I know it sounds weird. We paid 10 bucks an hour. We posted an ad on Craigslist, and we had our unpaid interns, and then we had these street teamers for 10 bucks. The street teamers had these great resumes. I did this for Red Bull and so-and-so and so-and-so. And their personalities were terrible. It was strange. Whereas the unpaid interns were choosing to be there. They wanted to be indoctrinated with Requested, and they wanted to spread the word. It's interesting. It was awesome. So yeah, I think the unpaid's better.
All right, listen, amazing. Well done. Let's hear it for Sunny.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you all.
Great job. Thanks.